You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Hey, listen, remember that, you guys? Remember all the fucking Navi pop-ups there, or Navy, or whatever her name was? Ocarina of Time fans? Oh, I was going to put her voice in the intro, and then I was like, no, I refuse to ever listen to that voice again. If I ever do replay Ocarina of Time, it's going to be on mute. I'm going to wear headphones and listen to the soundtrack from Link to the Past. You guys, welcome to Remember the Game, episode 4. This week, my buddy Mark and I sat down, and as a follow-up to last week's Link to the Past discussion, we talked the next Zelda game in the chain of command on the home consoles, which was A Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Maybe it's Ocarina. I'm going with Ocarina of Time on the Nintendo 64. I don't know anyone that owned a Nintendo 64 back in the day that did not own this game. And I played it. We all did. If you want my opinion, you're going to hear it. But footnotes version, it's okay. I think it's overrated. But we'll get into that. You guys, if you've been listening to the show and liking it, I really appreciate all the positive feedback. Please leave us a good review. Please tell a friend. You guys have been doing that, and it really means a lot to me. The listenership's been going up, and this has been a really fun project for me to work on. And Mark, if you're listening to this, thanks for coming over and talking Zelda with me. I'm not going to waste a lot of your time, guys. I know you want to listen to us nerd out about Ocarina of Time for the next 25 minutes or so and shit all over Navy and that fucking owl, or Navi, or whatever her name is. Anyway, I'm going to get to the chat with Mark, you guys. Enjoy. Here we go. So I'm joined again by Mark, and by the time these get up, we'll have 7 days ago talked about Link to the Past, when yeah. In reality it was about 7 seconds ago. And now we are going to leap ahead a few years and talk about... This one's going to be a little bit of a controversial discussion, because I have mixed reviews of this game.
You know what? I do too.
Okay,
let's
good.
Get into this.
Good. We are going to talk about Ocarina, or okay, for the record, Ocarina and Ocarina is the same fucking thing, and you can say either one.
I always said Ocarina.
Sure, I'm going back to Ocarina, because I like that better. Ocarina of Time. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it may not be anymore. For a very long time, Ocarina of Time was the highest rated game on Metacritic.
It's still ever. Number three.
It is?
Number two, I think, is Grand Theft Auto 5, and number one, I think, is Breath of the Wild.
Might be Breath of the Wild, okay.
I think. I'm not 100% sure.
It was like, I mean, so because you're a little bit younger than me, but you said you started with the SNES.
Yeah.
So, like, do you remember when this game came out?
This game was huge for me.
Dude,
This was 97. Great year for games.
Was, absolutely.
It's the same year that, like, Pokemon Red and Blue came out.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Like, did you get the gold cart?
I didn't.
Okay.
I did get the gold cart from Majora's, though.
Okay. So, my buddy and I both, like, we way pre-ordered it. We got the gold one.
I didn't pre-order it. I got it for Christmas.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because I didn't have money.
Because you're younger than me, yeah, I guess. I, like, saved my money to buy this.
Yeah,
game.
I was 9 years old.
And it was, like, I remember getting it, and, like, it's easy to sit here and be, like, the graphics don't look as good as we thought they did. That's...
Although, like, I always, like, when I play Ocarina of Time now, I always play the 3DS one.
Sure, yeah. Okay, and I only played
the graphics
there
don't look terrible.
No, not at all. I played the 3DS one for the first and only time about 2 years ago. Maybe not even, probably earlier, probably in the last 18 months. And enjoyed it thoroughly. And it fixed some of the things that I didn't like from the first one, as far as controls-wise and stuff like that. I felt it handed a little better. But it the graphics still, like, I think that whole era, like, the original, like, 3D polygon era has not, like, time hasn't treated it very well.
Well, as we mentioned, it was the first step into 3D gaming.
Sure.
And it's now being compared 20 years later to the last attempts at 2D gaming.
For sure. And I think in a way it would be like taking stuff like the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis graphics and comparing it to like the Atari.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's night and day, like the leaps that have gone ahead. But that said, like at the time, I was like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like as soon as you wake up and you walk out of his, and like, the whole reason I wanted to do this was because I wanted it to be feelings of nostalgia. This is nostalgia because I'm rusty with this game. I don't know this one like I do Link to the Past. But when you walk out of his treehouse and you're in the village, and it just, like, even that seemed huge. Like, you could go everywhere in this little tiny village. And then you go to the Deku Tree, right?
Yeah. Like, the game, the first half hour of the game does such a good job of, like, slowly teaching you the mechanics of the
game.
It
does, yeah, yeah.
Because you go, they're like, go to the Deku Tree, and you go, and there's Mido, and Mido's being a dick. He's like, look at you, you don't got fucking shit on you. What are you doing?
He is a dick, that fucking kid. So then, yeah, you have to, like, crawl through that cave to go get the wooden sword.
And then, like, you have to find enough rupees to, like, go find the shield. And that teaches you both about, like, oh, you have, like, this is currency that you're going to need later. And
that's
also,
right.
This is a shield. You're going to have to learn how to use this.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So, like, that's cool. And then the Deku Tree, like that was, I remember playing through that temple. Would you call it a temple? I guess temple. That was the moment where I was like, wow. Because it felt so big, and there was like you could burn spider webs in it, and you had to, like, or no, could you burn them?
Yeah,
you could get sticks and light the sticks on fire and run around with sticks on fire.
Really kind of cool, impressive puzzle that, like, you face pretty much right off the bat there. It's like you have to find, like, the hook, like the slingshot and everything, so you can climb up. But once you do that, and, like, this is their first, like, this was the first 3D Zelda temple that most people played.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was about, like, okay, we're going to show you how many layers we can do here.
Yeah.
So you would have to climb to the very top of the Deku Tree and then jump down and break open that spider web.
To burst through that giant web of spiders.
So you can get to the basement.
Yeah, that was so cool. I was stuck there forever. The night I got that game home and I played, I remember staying up so late the night I got that game home, and I thought it was so cool, but I was stuck there forever because I was just an idiot. I was like, what do you do? Because I was like, I was used to Link to the Past, and in the old Link games, they would build temples that were levels, but, like, you could see if there was a hole that had, like, dots in it, then you're like, oh, there's ground there. And if it was a hole that was black, you were like, oh, it's probably, like, an endless pit that I'll die if I fall in. And they didn't have that in this one. It was all one big open world. Like, the temple was one big world. You go up at any point. You could walk off a cliff and fall back down to where you were. Like, you could walk off a ledge and just fall back down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was, and I was like,
I could not wrap my head around this forever. And then, yeah, finally I fell through that spider web and I was almost mad. I was like, for fuck's sakes, like, it took me forever to figure out. You just had to fall through this stupid spider web. But it was so cool just to see, like, I imagine it was like Miyamoto's vision to see this, like, instead of it, like the old temples played like they were like different stages of a temple. And you could hop from one stage to another. And in this game, it was like, no, the whole temple is one big stage. And it's all wide open. And you can go wherever and do whatever. And the thing that sticks out to me is like, as fun as that temple was, it's getting out of that forest.
Because that's the... Because first of all, there's that moment with Seria.
Yeah.
Where, like, she gives you her ocarina. Like,
oh, yeah, on the bridge.
It's such a weird moment with Seria, though. Like, to this day, I'm not entirely sure why they did that. Because, like, you get the ocarina from Seria. Then you go to, like, the castle to, like, meet Zelda and stuff. Yeah. And she sends you on a mission to Death Mountain. You get to the guy to Death Mountain. He's like, go get me a fucking mask for my kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, you go to Death Mountain and they're like, go back to the forest before you can do the second temple. And you have to go talk to Seria again, like, a few minutes after you just had this sad goodbye with her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. And then, like, like two temples later, you get a whole new ocarina. It's like,
yeah, that I do remember that. That was weird because you get this big, like, well, it's been a slice. Like, I gotta go off on my big adventure, and then literally, it's like 15 minutes later. You're like, oh hey, remember me?
You don't get to even fight another boss fight before you see her again.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the things that'll stand out to me forever, and I'm sure that many people that played this game at the ages we did will feel the same way. Is that moment you come out of the temple, like, because at first you can't leave the forest, like, they won't let you leave till you go beat the tree,
like, you try to, like, find a way to get around the kid that's blocking you, and he's like, if you leave here, you'll die.
Yeah, it's impossible, you can't leave. And then when you do get out, and then the whole world just opens up, and it's like, it seems so big.
Yeah, like,
when you walk out, and, like, I remember that music that plays, and it's like, wow.
But even when you get into that moment, you come across this fucking owl who is the bane of my existence.
Oh, I hate that fucking
and
owl.
And to this day, I never understood why they programmed these owl talks the way they did.
Yeah.
Because he would go on and on and on and on. And then, like, then you just go A to get through it. And then at the very end, he would say, do you want to hear what I just said again?
Yeah.
And if it says yes at the top, so if you're not paying attention, you're going to just be going A, yes, I want to hear what you said again. Then you have to do it all again and be like,
in what world leaving yes is the default response? What, I don't know. Because yes, God, I fucking, like, the only character in video games more annoying than that fucking owl is the photo guy from Earthbound that floats in and takes your goddamn photo.
I love the photo guy from Earthbound.
No, fuck him. But that owl, like, especially when you're a little kid, like, I don't know how you were. Like, when I would play these games as a child, like,
I want to play.
I don't give
Let me
a
play.
Fuck what the storyline is. I'm like, I know I kind of got to go save this girl. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't care. I just want to swing my sword and run around and blow shit up. And then this fucking owl, like, I bet you right now I could not tell you one word he fucking says. I don't care. Like, shut the fuck up and leave me alone. And, like, just at this point, the internet existed. So I was like, if I need to look up where I have to go, I'll fucking look it up at school on the internet. Because I didn't have the internet at home yet. Yeah. I was like, I'll look it up at school. I'm not listening to this fucking owl. It was him, and then it was that fucking fairy.
Navi?
Like, hey,
you
listen.
Know what? People shit on Navi, or Navi, however you pronounce it. She's so much leaps and bounds better than... Did you ever play Skyward Sword?
No, I didn't.
Skyward Sword, it's one of those games, there's a lot I like about it, but, like, it's so... There's so much of that, like, let me play the fucking game.
Yeah,
like, shut the fuck up and let me, like, because you'll learn, like, oh, you have to go here, and then she'll pop up and be like, I have calculated that you have to go here, and I'm like, sure. Yeah, I just heard that. Please let me play.
Yeah, that's, like, the Navi, and in particular the owl, are the first of a couple of major criticisms I have over this game. And maybe you had to have them there to explain shit, maybe.
Well, like, the idea of the guide character, I guess, like, in games like this was kind of like, oh, but if people get lost, it's nice to have, like, a quick, easy reference.
Right, yeah.
Of what you're doing. But, because this is before, like, games had, like, screens with, like, missions on
them. Of course, yeah. But even then, like, make her, like, she, like, just, like, just let her be optional. She doesn't have to be like, hey, hey. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, just put a little blinker on and it's like, okay, if I'm stuck, I can listen to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It beeps at you like a fucking car where the passenger doesn't have his seatbelt on. And it's like, we're only going 2 blocks. I don't care if his seatbelt's on, but it's like, beep, 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 beep. It's like, okay, fine. It's like, just fucking what? And then...
That's the best way of putting it that I've ever heard.
Oh, that's what she is.
And it, like, fuck. It always and a little bit of Navy discourage exploration.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, oh, I want to see what's over here in this river. And she'll be like, hey, aren't you supposed to be going up Death Mountain?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll fucking, no, don't you worry.
Yeah.
That's a big fucking mountain.
I'll go.
I want to explore that mountain.
Yeah.
But first, let's see what's here.
I've never experienced a world like this. Just shut up and let me look around. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the only thing that I will say about her was, especially in this era, no one had really. Like 3D was still very new. And so stuff like the Z targeting and that kind of stuff, like you kind of needed someone to help talk you through that.
Well, and the Z targeting was a huge thing. Like it solved the huge problems of like, how do you deal with combat in a three-dimensional space?
I would love to know how much time it took them to lock down this combat system. Cause it's really good.
Yeah.
It handles really well. It just was like, it seems so incredibly overwhelming. Like at a glance, you were like, holy fuck. And then, because in all the old Zeldas, it was basically top down.
You could
swing your sword one of four ways.
You hit whatever's in front of
sure.
you.
Then, like this one, like you could be surrounded by bad guys and having to fight them in like in any direction at any time. Mm-hmm. And it was like, how the fuck am I gonna like? How do you ever hit? And they really did do a good job with figuring it out. Like it, I mean, you could play it now, and maybe the controls would seem a little stiff and not quite the same like on the old 64. Mm-hmm. But at that point. Like, we were all new to it together, and they, much like they did with Mario 64, which is another game I have a lot of gripes with, but much like Mario 64, they found a way to kind of hold your hand and guide you. Like, and that's only Nintendo does that. Only Nintendo, like, I know other games have tutorial modes, but Nintendo is better than anybody at holding your hand and helping you figure out, like, they're like, you're going into a deeper end of the pool now. Like, we got you. We'll
that
teach you
said,
how to
though,
swim.
They, like, always constantly reminded you of little things like that. But there are parts of Ocarina of Time that are too vague. Like, they're just too weird. Like, yeah, why would I ever catch a fish and then put it down in front of that other giant fish?
Right, yeah.
Like, why would I do that? There's nowhere in the game that says, like, hey, you know, Lord Jabu Jabu sure likes fish.
Yeah.
No, you just have to like
throw a villager in the town that you could talk to or something.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Like, everybody who's ever beaten that game and knew how to do that because somebody told them to do it, or because like they have a guide or something.
They looked it up. Yeah.
Like, there's no way that people, there's no way that many people could figure that out by themselves.
No, and I think that's where that is probably more so than Navi in the fucking. I bet you the owl tells you. Just nobody fucking listens.
No,
he's like, he probably tells you, but no one listens to what he has to fucking say. And he's like trying to be like, hey, just take him a fish. And he's like, you want to hear what I have to say again? Fuck off. And he just floats off like, okay, go fuck yourself. But more so than the owl and Navi. Or Navy, whatever. My biggest criticism of Ocarina of Time, and I never beat it as a kid. I didn't beat it till a year or two ago. I never finished it.
Oh, really?
No. I consider myself a pretty good gamer. Like, I'm pretty good I play a lot of video games.
Where did you get stuck?
I got stuck a lot in that game. I got stuck with that fucking spider web. I got stuck where I had to put the fish down. The fucking water temple in that game can eat my
ass. I'm glad
asshole.
You mentioned it because I love the water temple.
Eat my ass.
Like, if you look at it now, that is great game design, the water temple.
Maybe.
Because it not only challenges like you on individual puzzles, but you have to like know the layout of the temple a little bit to get through it.
Yeah, you do.
You need to like find rooms that you haven't been to yet.
Yeah.
Like, and that it makes the map an important item.
It does, yeah.
And most times when you get a map in a Zelda game, you're like, oh great, I'm totally gonna use this, whatever.
Yeah, I never use it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
And you never use it.
Yeah. I don't know. For all the good memories I have of Ocarina of Time, like getting the sword and becoming an adult was so cool. And much like Link to the Past,
it was like when you got drawn into the dark world. It was this big moment of the real game starts now.
When you come out of the, I don't know what you'd call it, the church, the temple, whatever, where you get the sword or whatever, and you come into like town and everything is dark and like mm-hmm. it looks like a ghost town. That dark world I enjoy far more than Link to the Past, because it doesn't make me, and maybe that's not a good thing, because it doesn't make me feel as shitty as Link to the Past did. I'm like, it's scary, but I'm like, I think it's cool.
Well, because it's kind of the same concept, it's just a little bit different. It's the same world 7 years later, after a great dictator has taken control of the land.
Yeah. And it's, so I don't know what it is about Ocarina of Time that I just, like, I don't have the same feel of, like, God, I love this game, nostalgia for it. Maybe it's because I never beat it as a kid, because I got stuck too much. I did struggle a little bit with 3D controls. Like, I didn't like them. It took me a long time to adjust them. I like 2D better. But the things I do love about it are, like, I feel like they took the concept of the light world and dark world and improved it exponentially with it being 7 years later, or whatever amount of years it is later. Because, like, people you dealt with before are still there.
And they have the same problems, but they don't recognize
you. They don't recognize you, or you go, like, you know what I mean? Like, that, like, shit like that is so cool. And, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I might be crazy, but, like, you go back to your old village as an adult, right?
And like, everyone's like, hey, why are you wearing these clothes?
Yeah.
Don't do that. Have you ever come across this kid?
Yeah.
He disappeared one day. We don't know what happened to him.
They don't realize it's you. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that is really cool. Like, I think, and I do think they nail the, like, when you're playing it, it never doesn't feel like the exact same world, but you're like a grown up now. It's like big. Like,
my biggest criticism, I guess, of Ocarina of Time, and I still, like, I love this game. It does so much right. It's one of the first big 3D adventure games.
Yeah.
But the world doesn't feel the way it did in Link to the Past.
No, it doesn't.
It feels a bit more disjointed. It's like, okay, if you go off over to here, then that's the lake section.
Yeah.
Whereas instead of like, oh, I found this lake behind this.
Yeah.
It's like every area kind of had a really clearly defined entrance.
Yeah.
In Hyrule Field, which is just kind of like an overall hub world.
Yeah, like when you wanted to go to Death Mountain, I remember that. Like, I forgot about that. Yeah, like, go to Death Mountain, you ran up those stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would like close the map and then open it and you're in Death Mountain or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that kind of shit. Whereas like in Link to the Past, it was like you were always in the same world. Always. It never felt like it had to load up a new world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you went to a temple, you're like, well, now I'm inside the building that was on that map.
Yeah.
Whereas here it feels like loading screens and it's like different little levels. It doesn't, yeah, you're right. The world doesn't feel nearly as connected. And I feel like, and maybe this is just me, but I feel like the world doesn't feel as full. Maybe it's because it was, maybe I don't have the right memories of it, or maybe it's because it's their first time into 3D. Like, Link to the Past, every single screen, there's something.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you, because if you, like, there were a lot of secrets to find in Ocarina of Time, but there was never, like, or there was so rarely like, oh, you would find this new item that like does new things. Unless like if you got like enough of the Skulltulas, you would get like the Stone of Truth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Things like that. But there weren't many. No, but then there were like some, there were like those spells that you could find that were entirely not necessary, but they helped.
Right.
But there wasn't as much as that of that. Like if you go through Hyrule Field, there's like parts where you will like drop into a cave and you'll be like, but now you're in this like cave underneath Hyrule and you're like, ooh, what's down here? Mm-hmm. And it's always just like a treasure chest in a, like in one single room.
Yeah. Like I did like that world to me, like, and then maybe this is one of my gripes with this game too, is like at points I literally feel like I just spend time running through a big field.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's nothing going on. It's just a big field and I just got to get to the other end of it to go to this place.
And like, it's obviously not fair to compare it to like modern Zelda games.
Of course not. Of course not.
Because like, yeah, Breath of the Wild, like it has the, like, it doesn't, none of that space feels wasted.
Of course.
But like, I feel like it could have at least done a better job than Link to the Past.
Sure.
And whereas like, Link to the Past world, it's perfect.
Right. And like, to me, like the whole premise of this podcast was like your good and bad, like nostalgic feelings for these games. And I grew up on Link to the Past and then I got Ocarina of Time and expected it to be a bigger, fancier Link to the Past.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
And it wasn't. And for the things that are better,
still
like,
a great game.
Sure it is. I'm not saying it's bad at all. And like the temples are great. I like the temples for the most part better than I like Link to the Past's temples.
Because the like,
it's funny because of what you said about how in Link to the Past, that entire overworld feels like one big flowing thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Ocarina doesn't feel like that.
And Ocarina, the puzzles are definitely better.
Sure. And in Ocarina, the temples feel like one big flowing thing. Mm-hmm. And in Link to the Past, the temples don't. The temples feel like little stages and you go up and down stairs and shit. Like, then like, the screen goes dark and then the screen comes back up. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Ocarina of Time, it's like once you're in a temple, like, it's all one big area. You know what I mean? Like, it's up to you to figure out how you're going to get through this.
I think the most glaring disconnect when it comes to a temple is, do you remember, like, the light temple or the spirit temple?
Which one was that?
It's the one where you're in the Gerudo Desert.
Yes, I do.
And there's also this really weird, vague thing. Going back to, like, weird, vague things, is, like, you have to, in order to trigger the cutscene with Sheik, to get the song that warps you back there so you can go back to the Temple of Time, become a kid, and then go back.
Right.
You have to, like, go into the temple, see, oh, there's no way to do this, and then come and then walk back out.
Right.
Because there's a sign that says, like, oh, you have to be, like, it says it in, like, fancy, like, fantasy game
garb.
Yeah, like, oh, you need to, like, come back here with, like, the heart of a child or something like that. So, like, for me, I read that, and I'm like, oh, I have to be a kid to be here. And I would warp back to the Temple of Time, become a kid, and then go to the desert.
Yeah.
And then there's a Gerudo woman being like, you're a kid. Get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
But what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go into the temple, be like, oh, I can't be here as an adult. Walk out. And as soon as you walk out, Sheik is like, oh, here's the song to come back.
Yeah. See, and like, and that's another example of just like maybe it just comes down to like they were like they had these ideas, they knew what they wanted to do, but they were still learning too. Just like how we were all learning how to play 3D games, they were learning how to make this big.
Oh, well, of course they were.
Fucking huge game. And I just I just for all the things I like about that game, and I do like a lot about it, I don't have nearly the like favorable nostalgia for it. I do Link to the Past. And it's because I got stuck too much. I struggled with playing 3D. There was too many examples like that one where you're like, instantly you're like, oh, I got to go back and get the thing. Mm-hmm. Then you come back, you're like, well, now what the fuck do I do? And then you realize all you had to do is walk like 10 feet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, why the fuck couldn't you just tell me that? Like, why couldn't she fucking have just like, why couldn't you have made me have to walk out? You know what I mean? Or like, just make him walk out. Or I bet you the fucking owl tells you again. I bet you for all of our gripes about this game, that fucking owl probably fixes all of it. We were just like, fuck him.
This, don't tell me how to. And then we're like, oh no, somebody should have probably told me how to do this.
Yeah.
But like, and the weird thing about that spirit temple is like you go in and like you have like a lot of puzzles that you can only solve as a kid. So a lot of them are like combat based or like, hey, you've got to hit this with a bow and arrow or with your slingshot, or you've got to use a bombachu on this.
Yeah.
A lot of it was like combat based, and then you would get those like big gloves, and then you'd go to the up, like you'd come back as an adult and you would have to do that other, the other half of the temple. And the puzzles were very different. Like, a lot of them were time-based. Right. Like, oh, you couldn't do this as a kid, but you can do that as an adult.
Yeah.
So that's the puzzle now.
Yeah.
And then you get to the top of the temple, and they're all light-based puzzles, because then you get the mirror shield. And
that's right.
Feels like they started building a temple for the Temple of Time with all the time-based puzzles. And they also were developing a Temple of Light with light-based puzzles.
Right, yeah.
And they ran out of development time, so they're like, we have to make this the same temple now.
The same thing, yeah, yeah.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
I certainly think that the biggest strength of that game is how seamlessly it flows between Link being a kid and Link being an adult. And like, I feel like when I'm playing that game, I feel like I'm the same character.
Well, and how big of a revelation that is.
Yeah, yeah. Much like with Link to the Past, how I felt like it was the same world, but shit had gone really bad in the Dark World. I do, like, literally, because you can go everywhere, just like you could as a kid, as an adult, but everything's totally different. No one recognizes you, but you know that you're you. And I really feel like they nail that aspect of it, where you're playing it and you feel like a kid and as an adult playing the same thing.
Well, and there was still like little things you can explore and find. Like,
yep.
You had to, like, there are things that you couldn't do as an adult before you did it as a kid.
Or yeah, had, yeah.
Like, the best example is like when you fuck with the guy with the windmill, where I will never understand this. This is one of those things that baffles my mind to this day. But like, you have to like learn this song from this dude who's like, this kid taught me this fucking weird song and it fucked everything up. This is how the song goes. And then you have to go back later in the game and play this song for this guy. And it's like, oh, you're the kid.
Yeah.
You're the kid that did this.
And he clues in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas most people just never put it together that you're the same person. I don't know. Yeah, it's, I really feel like I should play it again. I just like, I don't know, dude. I feel like you mentioned off the top, I can't remember if it was this podcast or the Link to the Past one, but you mentioned how some people just shit on 3D because it was different. And they're like, it's not the same. And like, I'm almost one of them. I enjoy 3D. And I thought like, like Mario Kart, I loved wrestling games. Like, there were certain things I loved in 3D, but there were other things where maybe I had just spent so much time with them in 2D, like Mario and like Zelda.
Well, but it's another one of those things. When they made the jump to 3D, they had to start again.
They did have to start again.
They couldn't build on, like, whereas the Super Nintendo was building on the inertia of the Nintendo.
Sure. And like, cause I'll ask you, like, do you like Link to the Past better than Ocarina of Time?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I think anyone that grew up on a 2D Zelda likes it better. I would be surprised if there's a lot of people that prefer, but like any, like I think a lot of gamers, especially today, like a lot of people that are only a couple years younger than you and I grew up playing Ocarina first.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is their entry to Zelda. You know what I mean? Or Majora's Mask. And like, mm-hmm. so those are the ones they know.
That'd be a very weird, like if Majora's Mask is your first Zelda game, that's a weird, although I like Majora's Mask maybe better than I like Ocarina of Time, and maybe better than I like Link to the Past.
See, the only reason we're going to bring it up here is because I can't do an episode of this on Majora's Mask, because I played it on the Wii Virtual Console, and I only played it for about 2 hours and was like, man, I don't like it. And now I kind of feel like I should give it another chance.
See, when I almost hit that wall with Majora's Mask when I was a kid, but it was like when I was a kid, right? Like you got a new video game every however many months. Whereas like now I'll play a game and I'm like, I'm not feeling it, and then I'll play something else.
Yeah, you had to play whatever you got. Whereas, I just like, to me, Majora's Mask always felt like the Nintendo 64 version of Zelda 2, where they tried something different and it was weird. Maybe not as much, because Zelda 2 was like...
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. But if you get through the end of Majora's Mask, if you get through that initial weirdness of like, oh, this is so much different.
Right.
It's such a good, like, fulfilling experience.
Right.
Like, collecting all of the masks.
Yeah, and like... I mean, so many people sing its praises, and I'm like, there has to be something there. Like, it's Zelda. Like, it's the only Zelda game I've ever played that I was like, meh. Like, I never finished Twilight Princess, but I did play it, and I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I never played Skyward Sword. I love Wind Waker.
Wind Waker, that's a whole other thing. Yeah, Wind Waker is a fantastic game.
I love Wind Waker. I love Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds. I love Breath of the Wild. It was Majora's Mask was the one that I was just like, because it was so different. And I was like, this isn't Zelda. I was like, this is like, what's all these side quests? And I was like, you know, which obviously by today's standards is normal, like fucking par the course. So I was like, all these weird masks. Plus it still had these weird, I struggled with the controls quite a bit with the Nintendo 64 one for quite a long time. And I was like, it's because it still has that weird fucking control, the 3D thing.
But it had that sense of like mandatory exploration that was like, that Link to the Past also had.
Right.
That like, oh, if you don't look around and like try to find, like if you don't look around and try to find some stuff, there's going to be things you miss, and it's going to make it difficult later.
Yeah, I should really give it. I mean, I don't have a way to play it right now, Majora's Mask. I should really give it another shot. I feel the same way about Mario Sunshine, where it's one of those ones where I'm like, they change things too much.
Oh, I definitely feel that way about Mario Sunshine.
And now I'd like to give it another chance. But as far as Ocarina of Time goes, I really think that's why my memories of it are pleasant but foggy, and it's because I didn't finish it. I found it hard. I didn't like the changes. They, you know what I mean? Like I was like, I want my old 2D like Zelda back. And there was just too much other stuff, because the Nintendo 64 was still this brand new thing where I was so excited about being able to play four players with my friends, and I had Mario Kart, and I had wrestling games, we had GoldenEye, and I was like, I don't. You know what I mean? I was like, I would play Zelda, and then I'd be like, I've had enough of this. Like, I'm stuck.
Oh, I definitely spent an insane amount of time playing Ocarina of Time when I was a kid. Because, like, it was another one of those games. Like, I wanted to see everything.
Yeah. My bro is that. Like, that was the one game as a kid where my brother, like, was obsessed with that game. And I was like, I don't want to play this anymore. Let's fucking play something else. You know what I mean? Like, it just, which is weird to me, because a Zelda game shouldn't be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I don't know. Just clouded. Do you have any other, okay, before we review it, do you have any closing thoughts? Is there anything else? Have I shit all over your favorite game? Because
it's a lot of the things that I kind of agree with.
Right.
I wouldn't call it my favorite game. It's still a fantastic game, still holds up pretty well.
Sure.
But it's definitely not, like, too many people talk about Ocarina of Time as the gold standard of video games when I don't think it aged as well as Link to the Past.
No, that's it. I think I do understand how a Zelda game can be your gold standard for games.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, because Zelda games are immaculate.
For me, like, I'm here today because I'm obsessed with Zelda.
I get how Zelda games are your thing. And I would be willing to bet you a majority of people that grew up with a Super Nintendo, and I don't mean you played it a little bit, I mean like you played it obsessively, like I did, like you did, Link to the Past. That is your that's your benchmark for those games. You know what I mean? Whereas if you grew up on Ocarina and that was where you discovered this world of fucking going anywhere and looking for things, and then that's probably your gold standard. You know what I mean? Like, and you probably go back to Link to the Past and like, this is good, but it's not Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm like, Link to the, like, Ocarina is good, but it's not Link to the Past. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, when I see it as like the second or third highest scored game on Metacritic,
you don't hear
like,
a lot of people saying Link to the Past was great, but it wasn't the original. Nobody says that because Link to the Past was basically the original,
sure,
but way better.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah. So I mean, like, so I mean, because what was the third 3D Zelda game? Was it Wind Waker?
Well, yeah.
Nobody ever talks about, like, it really took, like, I mean, facts are facts. It took Breath of the Wild for people to be like, oh, Ocarina's been dethroned. Like, Breath of the Wild is the new fucking, like...
Well, and as it, like, as it should be.
As it should be.
Because Breath of the Wild did what, like, Link to the Past did. For sure. Did what the original did. Just gave you this world that's like, yeah, go find stuff. And
for
you're
sure.
Like, yeah.
But I think that, like, I think an overwhelming majority of people would be like, Link to the Past is vastly superior to Zelda.
I mean, people that play games a lot, people that just kind of casually played games when they were younger will be like, oh, yeah, Ocarina of Time, best game of all time.
Sure, sure, sure.
And it's like, it's a great game.
Yeah.
I still like, play it a few times a year, but...
Yeah, maybe I'm harder on it than I need to be because I'm like, if that many people are holding that high of regard, I'm like, I'm not stupid. I know it's a good game.
But it's tough because it was the first,
right,
3D Zelda game.
Yeah, it was.
That was a huge deal for me.
That was as excited as I've been for a video game. That might, at that point, might have been the most excited I had ever been for a video game. I remember reading about it in magazines and everything. Like,
Nintendo Power? Did you have Nintendo Power?
Yes, and like Game Pro.
My second copy of, like, I remember we subscribed to Nintendo Power. And the second issue I got was the Ocarina of Time issue.
Dude.
The, like, one where Link has, like, the bow and arrow on the front and he's aiming outwards and it's super cool.
Dude, you used to see, like, the screenshots and you were just like, wow, like, look at this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, I saved up my money. We got the collectors. I fucking played it all night. And just, like, and I, it's kind of bothering me sitting here right now. I can't figure out what it is about that game where it went off the rails with me where I'm like, it's not that good. Like, it's good, but it's not. I guess it is that good. It just isn't to me. Like, isn't to me.
It's so subjective.
It is.
It's so subjective. And the game does have a lot of flaws that, and a lot of, like, kind of obvious flaws that maybe Link to the Past didn't have.
Sure.
Or things that seemed like flaws in, like, I remember I was talking about how much I loved that you had to explore in Link to the Past to find the ice rod.
Right.
Like, you had to or you'd be fucked later.
Right.
But, like, when shit like that happened in Ocarina of Time, it pissed me off. Like, the thing with the fish.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, that was the thing. There was a few things that just, like, it was, to me, there were points you could get stuck. And that pissed me off because I never felt like that.
And the world felt a bit more disjointed, just like a series of, like, connected.
That's the best point. I don't mean to be like, that's the best point you've made all day, but like, like, that was the point that hit home with me the most was, yeah, that overworld just did not feel like one big flowing overworld.
No, it was like a circle, and then there was like paths to other places.
You could go into like levels. You could like pick a level and go to that level. Okay, we'll end this. I feel like we're kind of going around. I feel like I'm going around in circles, trying not to shit on Ocarina of Time, but slowly shitting on Ocarina of Time. What would you give Ocarina of Time? Not the 3DS remake. We're just going original.
Okay, the original.
What would you give it out of 10?
8.5.
All right. I'll give it an 8. I'll give it an 8.
That's fair.
It's good. It's, shut the fuck up that it's the greatest of all time. It is not. There are four Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds.
It's not even the best Zelda game.
No. Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds, Breath of the Wild, and Wind Waker are all better than Ocarina of Time.
I totally agree with that.
Fuck yes.
I would put Twilight Princess above that too.
There you go.
I think Ocarina of Time is one of the weaker 3D Zelda games, with the exception of maybe Skyward Sword.
You just heard it here first. Ocarina of Time sucks. You fucking just heard it here. Fuck all of you nerds. Thank you so much for listening again this week, you guys. The numbers have been going up, and I appreciate all the support from everybody. Mark, thank you for coming over and nerding out with me and talking a whole bunch of Zelda. We recorded this and the Link to the Past episode back to back. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one. This was a game I wasn't quite as familiar with as I was all the Super Nintendo ones. I've played it 100 times, but I could not remember it as well. So I hope that came through, and I hope it wasn't too foggy for you guys. If there's any diehard Zelda fans out there that are like, you got something wrong, you want to yell at me, fucking go ahead. I don't care. You guys, if you like this show and it's been going really well, I appreciate the support. Please leave me a good review. Please tell a friend about it. A lot of you have been, and if you've been doing that, thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it. I'm enjoying it. Next week, I will be sitting down with my buddy David Ray, and we are going to be talking about the NES classic Mega Man 2. This was our first Nintendo 64 game on the podcast, and next week will be the first NES game, and I'm really excited. It's been so fun doing this. It's been a chance to go back and just play games that I haven't played in a long time. I didn't play this one in time. I don't know if I'll probably never play Ocarina of Time again. Meh, it's done. It's good enough. If they release a Nintendo 64 classic, I'll probably get it. Anyway, you guys don't care. Thanks for listening, you guys. Thanks for telling a friend if you did. Thanks for reviewing it if you did. Thanks for liking it if you did. And we're going to talk Mega Man in 7 days, you guys, or whatever it is you listen to this next Wednesday. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you later.